Blog Talk Radio.
All right. All right. Shalom, nation. Shalom, shalom, shalom. So, we're back. By the will of the Father, to have this conversation tonight, that's an important, in the big scheme of things, in the overall scheme of things, it's a great word, great conversation. What we are discussing tonight is the deference, Israel, deference. That is spelled D-E-F-E-R-E-N-C-E. Again, D-E-F-E-R-E-N-C-E, deference. Let that word resonate with your spirit, deference. It's a word that is hardly heard, deference. It's a word that you need to know and understand. It's a word that we all have been missing. What is it that deference? Humble, submission, and respect. Humble, submission, and respect. There's a lot to unpack in that, and there's a lot to be said for that. You know, many of our nation feel good about knowing that they are of the nation, that they understand about the history of what the heathen and the Gentiles have done to us, done to the nation, our forefathers and our fathers, and our great-grands and our grands. And in that understanding, that knowledge, what that does is that provides a gateway into righteous vengeance, righteous indignation. That righteous indignation and that righteous vengeance is what gets us caught up. It feels good, tastes good, smells good, looks good. I know. I've been there. I am not without reproach on that. But there comes a time where we have to recognize deference. Deference. Because the question we need to be asking ourselves as a nation is, what is the will of the Father? What is the will of the Father? Because many of us get caught up in a lot of things. We get caught up in watching the pain. We get caught up in, you know, universal atoms, universal molecules. We get caught up in echoes and reverbs. We get caught up in antebellum. We get caught up in Jim Crow. We get caught up in exodusing initially. We get caught up in prophecies, and we get caught up in worldly things. Ultimately, we get caught up in our pride, because what we fail to realize is that the will of the Father is the key. And that doesn't mean that that's for the group. No, that's for the individual, you see. That whole concept of the nation on the collective is key. But nevertheless, we have to see that it is for ourselves, because we make up the nation. It's easy. And if we're too busy, stiff neck, puffed up, pointing out the ills and the evil ways of our brothers and sisters, yet foregoing our own, then who are we? Are we good? Are we bad? Are we no better than? Are we the same as? I mean, we sit around and pontificate a lot. And, you know, we are an intelligent group, highly, like, incredibly. Our intuitiveness is great. Our senses have been heightened. Our awareness has been piqued. Our knowledge has been increased. And yet we take all of that time, energy, and focus, and we put it on the hocus pocus of the Gentiles. Why? Oh, well, you know, they gonna pay. Yep. You know, they did this. Yep. You know, they done lied. Absolutely. All that is true. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to fight that? Is that your battle? Is that how we are to grow? Are we growing up or are we growing in? How are we going to begin our own journeys? Are we going to stay stagnant within the same rut, strutting around, believing that we are down, that the nation is all that's to be saved, that that's what it's all about, and that he gave his only begotten son just for some uptight, stiff-necked, vengeful people? I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, he destroyed a lot of us for that madness. So why now do it? You know, we miss the plot in how the Father wants his will to be done. We think, you know, that it's all for fun and that we get to dictate how it's going to be and what you know, it's all about us, son. It's all about us. And in fact, it is. But it's only about us if we do what the will of the Father wants us to do. And that's what we're missing. You know, we love the Messiah. We love Yeshua. We love him. But, I mean, he's the one who gave us the prophecies. He's the one who told us what to do. He's the one who gave us the understanding. He's the one who came for us, and yet we mistakenly forego that for righteous vengeance. He knew that they were going to take this whooping. He knew that it was going to be pain and gnashing of teeth. He knew they were going to give us a lot of beef. But we were going to endure. For sure, we were going to endure that no man deceive us. Look at us now. Are we truly doing the will of the Father, or are we screaming at each, or are we screaming at the heathen for what they've done? Listen, their hearts are contrite. Their hearts are convicted. They are self-reflecting, self-convicting, and they missing self-correcting because the self-correction is only by way of the Spirit, the Holy Ruach, given to us by Yeshua. And if we choose to circumvent that and do this on our own and be stuck in our own pride once again, I mean, how are we going to be better than them? How are we going to be better than our forefathers? And listen, this isn't a chastisement. This ain't a debasement. This ain't nothing. Because who am I? There's so many brilliant, brilliant brothers and sisters out here. Brilliant. And yet there's so many foolish ones as well. We love ourselves. We're learning to love ourselves because over the course of time, we learn how not to love ourselves. We're learning now to see ourselves and see our people. But in doing so, we get prideful. And, you know, you know, judgment still begins at the house of Israel. Just because our nation was judged before don't mean that the Father won't judge us again. That's Christian sanity. Oh, that happened back then. It'll never happen again. Everything begins with us. The foolish virgins and the five wicked virgins, I mean, and the five righteous virgins, were still us. We're thinking, we're making the mistake thinking that we are the master of the house, that we own the vineyard, that it's our harvest. Inadvertently on the harvest, it is, but we think we own the harvest. No, we're just the laborers. We're just the migrant workers. You know, because the heathen has told us that we're the laborers and that's all we are, we took offense. But hell, we are the laborers. We must labor in the vineyard. How's Brother Man saying? This ain't hard, but it's so damn hard. Because looking at your own actions, that's why he said, "Who? What you mean you're going to stone this person? I mean, he who has not sinned, cast the first stone then. Shoot, do it. Fool. Be froggy. Jump if you froggy. Do it." Everybody threw their stones down and walked away. To live, to die another day. Because that's the only way. We sit around and say, oh, well, it's all about us. It's about us teaching and judging. Mm-mm, no, wow. Why you want to be on that side? We know they lied. They've lied up and down and up and right, east and west. It don't even matter at this point. But you know what? They're going to get theirs. They're going to get theirs. All those who have not done the will of the Father will get theirs. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. The will of the Father. The will of the Father. The Father is whatever he has decreed in his wisdom, knowledge, holiness, and grace. So what has he decreed about us? Knowledge will increase. What knowledge? Secular knowledge? Historical knowledge? Spiritual knowledge? Political knowledge? Discernment knowledge? What knowledge? All knowledge. The knowledge come from, for us, the Spirit, the Holy Ruach. And who sent that? Yeshua. And who sent him? The Father. So if we miss those things, how then can we find ourselves worthy? And I know, when we first got into this walk, we sat around and we talked about, we're not dealing with Cesar Borgia. I get it, to the Messiah. Nah, it wasn't. Yes, it was, because we're not sticking to what he's saying. Well, what's he saying? You know, first of all, everyone is not our brother, sister, and mother. Only those that do the will of the Father. So right there, exclude some people. There's an exclusion process in this. Turn his face back to us so that what? What can we do now that he has turned his face back to us? He wants us to have a conversation with him. If we do not have conversations with him, meditation, earnest, deference, then we're cut off. It's the same thing in our world. if you don't talk to somebody for a long time, you're cut off from them. He wants you to treat him the same way that we treat our dad. You talk to your dad. You have conversations with him. He teaches you things. He provides you wisdom. You learn from him. And you grow into the knowledge of self as it relates to the family, as it relates to the nation. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, one with you. So you have to have the conversation. He's turned his face back to us for that very reason. But you can't be skipping over his emissary, his son, the one he sent here for our being in order for us to be able to understand him. I mean, that's the irony of the whole thing. We've been sitting around trying to fight the power. You know, like P.E. said, we trying to sit around fighting the power, you know, getting involved in their politics and all of their stuff just to know, just to find out later that all of that's a lie and they took it from us in the first place. Then once we figure that out, we get upset because it's like, well, damn, you guys have lied to us this entire time. So now we find that they've lied to us this entire time. So now instead of us saying, okay, Father, what will you have us do? We then take it upon ourselves to be upset at them and want and wish and try to bring forth righteous vengeance. And the Father's like, sit down. Be still. Let me do what I'm to do. You got a job to do. You got to self-reflect so that you can self-convict. So that you can, because if you ain't self-correcting, I'm gonna judge you too, ninja. I mean, what is this? You know? Well, all of Israel will be saved, but not all Israel will be saved, because some of Israel is, or some is the seed, not Israel. And, you know, Abraham had, you know, the promise or the seed of Abraham, just the promise that, oh, you know, Abraham, you're going to have a lot of nations. So, yeah, okay, we all brothers. But there is a remnant of Israel. What's Israel's remnant? What is their purpose? The Father's will. What is the Father's will? To be a light to his world. What's his world? His creation. Adam failed, so did Israel. And now we sit back with knowledge on the verge of puffing up. And I see it. Being stiff-necked. You can't tell me I know this, I know that. I get it. We all do. It is not wrong to know. We do need to know. We do need to study. But we can't forget studying and showing ourselves approved within the will of the Father. That is what he wants us to do. And that doesn't incorporate everyone. Everyone is suited for what the Father wants them to do. Not everyone's going to do it. Hence why he said two-thirds. Two-thirds is a large amount. 9 billion people on the planet. That's a lot of people. 6 billion go. 6 billion don't get in. 6 billion don't make it. It's a lot of people, yet still 3 billion is a lot of people relative to the truth, the true truth, the light, Yeshua, the Messiah. We have to get back on track, and, you know, getting back on track is, yeah, we have to show love to get love. That's part of the energy dynamic. You can't be running around hating, you know. And it's funny, you know, everybody gets their reward, right? Everybody gets a reward. So the wicked get a reward, so do the righteous. And we and that's in the spiritual and in the physical. We see that now. The wicked run around trying to, figure out ways of not getting caught. But the Father caught them anyway. He put an ibid, a side note in that contract. He said, but I still see you. You may think you're getting away with it, but I still see you. It's still written down. I will judge you on that. And people, I don't believe that. Okay, it's fine. We don't have to go back and forth. We don't even have to have the last word. It don't matter. Because you have to endure. A nation is built up of individuals. So if the individuals don't endure through the fire, through the suffering, do not endure the long suffering of the fire that you have to go through in order to be purified in the will of the Father so that you can be part of the kingdom of come. Think of it like this. You get a choice. Your choice is going to be where or what level you want to be at in the kingdom. So if you plead to and deal with the heathen, well, you will take on the heathen reward. I don't cleave to the heathen. Well, I mean, wanting their demise is cleaving to the heathen. Because you've taken your focus away from the will of the Father. The will of the Father, yes, he's going to take care of them. But is that you going to take, is it you? Well, Israel's the hammer of the Father. Well, all that's true. But he chooses who's the hammer. You ain't choosing who's the hammer. Hammer? You can't run around hammer time, cutting cats, chopping them down, beating them up, calling them out their name, calling them bywords. That's the same thing they did. So really, in the big scheme of things, are you any better? Are you any better than them? Because at the end of the day, not all Israel is Israel. Not all skin folk is kin folk. And we know they're going to cleave to us. We know some of them are going to cleave to us. We don't know a number. We don't know a date. We just know that some will cleave, just like there was a multitude coming out of the Exodus. There'll be a multitude going into the kingdom. So if we're using their logic of, colorized color vision, then, I mean, we're no different than what they do. Literally. And there are a lot of agents out here. There are a lot of agents ensnaring the nation, tons of them, tons and tons of them. But they're being used for the left-hand side of the Father to purify, because he only wants the best of the best. That means that you have to be the best of the best. I don't know a number. I don't know the percentile that he wants. That is not my concern. It is of no consequence to me to fathom that. But as long as you are doing the best of the best that you can be daily and suffering through all of the things that you suffer through. Now, granted, people think that, you got it bad. No, there's lots of people out here in this world that's got it worse than you. People think that Gentiles that these Gentiles is treating you bad. Shoot, they treated us worse before. Worse than they treating us today. And look, I'm not saying they angels or they saints. No, that is not the point. The point is that we individually need to self-correct. And self-correction is like, a cat who's jumping from a height, and he's got to turn. It's got to turn its body to self-correct in air, so it lands on all fours and can keep it moving. That's what self-correcting is, because we're free falling. And a lot of people want to you know, hold on to a lot of this this negativity. And, you know, we say negativity, it's not really negativity. It's more we want to hold on to the distraction, and that's why I call it the negativity and the distraction. I lump it all together as righteous indignation and righteous vengeance. And, you know, that, how does that look? That's what they did during the Wild Wild West. They ran around on their high horse killing, stealing, and destroying. And if you think for a minute the Father's going to allow you to do what he's judging them for, again, I mean, you're missing the plot. You missed the plot. You missed the theme. Again, I'm not chastising nobody because who the hell am I? It's not even about that. It's just that, you know, where I'm at in this walk is it's moving. It's growing into the will of the Father. I'm not growing up into the will of the Father. I'm growing into the will of the Father. And I wanted people to understand that we can't be so vindictive, so wishing vindictiveness unto people. There's something to be said for an eye for an eye. Absolutely. But there's also something to be said for patience. So as you get poked in the eye, you know, you gotta take care of yourself. You gotta self-reflect on that. What happened? You gotta self-convict on that. Okay, here I did this wrong. This is I got a counterattack, right? I got a counter. Then you got to self-correct. So now you gotta fix what's wrong with you first, and then seek the Father's will that it may be done for your enemy. And 9 out of 10 times when you read the, not even 9 out of 10, when you read the scriptures, this is what happened with our nation. We were attacked. The Father said, go somewhere, sit down, wait, and then go here, look, and watch me do my job. Do what I'm going to do. Do my will for you, Israel. And you know what? It worked out until we became puffed up by saying, you know, we this, we that, look at us, we doing this, can't nobody knock us down. This is how Israel was. Pharisaical. Playing silly kid games, trying to outthink the master, trying to use knowledge against the master who has all the wisdom of the knowledge. Talking about, let his blood be on our hands and our children's. Okay. Because that's what you wanted. That's what we got. And we keep missing the fact that we're still in Jacob's trouble. Yes, the nations have taken a whooping, so they in their trouble too. But remember, he will be saved out of it. But that doesn't mean that it stopped. He didn't say, you know, the Jacob's trouble's over, and he's I'm going to save Jacob out of it. No, he said, and these are the days, and these even are the days of Jacob's trouble, but he will be saved out of it. That conjecture, but, tells you that there is a change in that. But that don't mean that we dictate the change in that. We're still in Jacob's trouble, but yet we get the time now to turn his face back to his people, his downtrodden, his poverty-stricken, simple of mind people, and said, hey, come talk to me so I can talk to you and tell you what I need you to do. But we going, you Gentiles taking the ass with me. You know what? That's great stuff. I mean, I'm going to sit here with my popcorn. I'm going to watch this And he's like, but you ain't talking to me. You're not conversating with me. Don't worry about Father. I'm gonna talk to you. I'm gonna get with you. Hold on. And he's like, wait, what? And you got your popcorn and your Coca-Cola, and you sitting back, or better yet, you got your sweet tea and popcorn, and you sitting back, watching, but missing the show. Because the Father's like, oh, now I got to judge them too, because they're not in my will. The will of the Father. That's what this is about. That's all this has ever been about. That his will be done. Not your will, not our will, not my will, but his will. And we learn that through the Messiah. We learn that through him, his action, his ways. They have to line up. His words, they have to line up. We have to treat everybody the way we want to be treated. That's even to the heathen and the Gentiles, especially now, because we now gain. We're gaining a righteous reward. But if we are stumbling blocks to those that we're to help, we're to show, we're to be a beacon of light to, then we get it worse. We get it worse. I mean, hell with the Gentiles, the judgment. We get damned because we were a stumbling block. We don't know that heathen from the conversation, that Gentile based on the conversation that we would have had with them if we treated them right, maybe they would have changed. Maybe that was the will of the Father for them to change. But we so busy chastising them and then not even self-correcting ourselves, we're no better than them. We become them because we're not in the will of the Father. Deference, humbly submitting and respecting the will of the Father. We can go into all types of history. I'm telling you, you know that. You know that this is true. We can do deep dives into the esoteric. We can do deep dives into the molecular structure as it parallels and relates to the universe and the code and the DNA and the gematria and the words and the numbers within the words and how that looks, and we can code and decode. But hell, if we ain't in the will of the Father, none of that matters. No, not one. That just becomes knowledge of no profit. Like I said earlier, we think that we the owners of the vineyard. And as we think this, we don't do what we're supposed to do. And because of that, because of not doing what we're supposed to do, we go off. Just like the Gentiles did. Just like Israel did before the Gentiles were in power. Just like they did before the flood that the Father wiped out. Because they weren't doing his will. As the days of Noah, so shall the coming of man be. The coming of the master be. So, I mean, knowledge is great. But if you're not within the will of the Father, eating off of the tree of life consistently, be hot or cold, eat off of the tree or eat off of the tree of life or eat off of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't be in between jumping back and forth. That's why the cherubim was there. Nah, you ain't coming back and forth. Nah, you ain't, this ain't happening. The Father said, no more eating off of the tree of life. Go eat off of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and find your way back, because that's the prophecy, for you to find your way back to the tree of life. And that's only being done by way and through the will of the Father. And we know these scriptures. We know these scriptures, but we don't use them. We're not using them in their proper form. And we're missing that. We all have to get back to that. Yep, it begins with treating people right. Absolutely. But it also begins with you understanding what your purpose is, what your task is, what you have to do to fix yourself, and being honest about it. Excuse me, being honest about it, being earnest about it. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot happening, of course. You know, these jokers is all about the evil. They can't do no good. And they're being exposed. That's what this is all about, it's the exposure. So if you can endure being exposed and you know, do the right thing through it and repent and atone and as well as while you're repenting and atoning, being able to deal with self and deal with self within the will of the Father and be long-suffering, then you get the reward. That's what all this is about. It's the reward. Which reward do you want? Do you want the reward of the wicked, or do you want the reward of the righteous? Same thing in the physical. You know, now that boy right there, that boy, I mean, golly, a bad boy. That boy, he don't listen. He don't do this. He don't do that. That boy is a hard head, stiff-necked boy. But the only thing that gets through to him is reward. So I got to treat him to, you know, a good dinner. He likes pizza. Or I got to get him an Xbox, and he won't act up as much because he understands there's a reward for acting right. The same thing that the Father's trying to do, the will of the Father. Treat people right. Love me. Do the will. Understand how that looks in the wisdom, the knowledge, the holiness, and the grace of the Father for your own actions. And you're good. And you're good. Seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, right? Who sent me, right? And see, the will is what he wants, is his will for you. Don't worry. Don't worry about the collective. Worry about his will for you. There's multiple levels in this. There's multiple levels. Worry about his will for you. And that's a conversation for you and he, not for the world to have. That's how you know if you're in the will of the Father. Because you start recognizing. It's just like, you know, your father tells you some things of how to live. You ain't running around telling everybody your family business. But there's certain things that you can tell, you can say, and based on your character, shows the reward of your family. So he, as our Father, wants us to do the righteous thing so we gain the righteous reward, so that we see so that the world sees the righteous light, so they can take part in the righteous work if they cleave to us. Who's taking part in the will of the Father. And that's individually and collectively. I don't do this by myself. I didn't wake myself up. I didn't tap myself on the shoulder and be like, yo, it's time now. I get it. No. So I'm not looking to force feed this corn onto people when they only can drink the milk. That's between them and the Father. We all have so much to go, so much to learn, so far to go. So I always say, you know, got a long way to go and a short time to get there. that's not by happenstance or coincidence that I say that. It's because it's true. Ain't nobody become. That's, again, that Christianity madness.
I'm saved and all I favor. Are you now? How's your fruits?
That's the will of the Father, to have your fruits right. Otherwise, the same thing that he's going to say to the heathen and the Gentiles, but I never knew you, he'll say to you. This isn't exclusivity. Only Israel is going to get in, and it's the only ones that won't take any more judgment. That's not written. You can't find that. Things are elusive as they are alluded to. Therefore, we need the Spirit to give us understanding, overstanding. That doesn't mean that we come upon this knowledge, and I'm sorry, it's to say that we do not come upon this wisdom by ourselves. That's pride. Matter of fact, that's ridiculous. That whole thought process. You can't, you know, in first grade, be like, you know, I know everything now. Now I'm in, I'm a senior in high school. What? You just got into first grade. You just got out of kindergarten. You just finished sucking the milk, drinking the milk. You just finished. And somehow now, you ain't even, you done skipped over the porridge. Check that out. You done skipped over the porridge, the cream of wheat. And now you trying to get steak and potatoes with no teeth. Because that's just the nature of knowledge. Knowledge without wisdom. Knowledge with wisdom is the will of the Father. Knowledge of wisdom without the will of the Father is death. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And watch this. At this time, the Judeans began to grumble about Yeshua, the Master, because he had said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. You know? It's just like, you know, we can't miss the Son. We can't miss the Master, just like the heathen can't miss the prophecy or miss the nation. Otherwise, you go off. Even though they all Cesar Borgia, all their whole focus is worshiping Yeshua. That's their whole principle, their whole aim. Well, our aim is to seek after the Father and love our brother. We're missing the fact that we have to seek after, we have to see the Son through the see the Father through the Son. Again, at this time, wait, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. At this, the Judeans began to grumble about Yeshua because he had said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They didn't say, and at this, the Gentiles began to grumble. This is why we have to look unto the Son to see how we acted towards him. Well, it wasn't all of us. That's right. It was the Pharisees, which is the key. You can, you know, you don't want to gain understanding and be pharisaical. That's what the will of the Father is not about. Things go in cycles. Everything comes and goes, ebbs and flows. Nothing new under the sun. And now here we are, missing the sun, trying to find the Father without the Master, without the guidesman. Oh, I got all this knowledge from all these places, but somehow I'm missing the sun. You know? And it's not to say you can't gain knowledge in various places. Not to say you can't. But you have to do it by way of the will of the Father. Not everybody can bench press 300 pounds. Not everybody can bench press 100 pounds. So you have to be able to bench press that which the Father has given you, that which is his will. That's why this is so difficult, because a lot of people are trying to bench press 300 right off the bat, and it's like they're getting crushed. Things ain't as they seem. Things are tricky for them. You know, they got no peace and faith that they can bench press that amount of weight. But they're going to do it anyway, just because. Because they want to do more than the next person, which is pride. You know, we have to understand, let me just find something like that. We have to understand that pride is our enemy. Our major enemy. Let's see. Let me see something. Let's get some. Here we go. There are six forms of pride taught in Scripture that we must recognize, because we expect pride when we succeed. The first three forms are more obvious, since we don't expect pride when we fail. The second three forms are less conspicuous. One, self-exaltation. Pride gives credit to himself. When a person succeeds and gives himself credit, he is prideful. This is the athlete who yells, "I am the greatest." This is the scientist who proclaims, "I am the smartest." This is the politician who brags, "I am the sole reason for our success." Do not be deceived, my brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. That's James 1:16-17. Our human tendency is to credit ourselves when we succeed. We attribute our physical beauty to our health, diet, and consistent exercise. We believe our work ethic created our financial success. We applaud our kindness for our many friendships. Yeshua warns that God will humble those that exalt themselves. Yes, he does. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Matthew 23:12. Everything good comes from God. We contribute nothing. God accomplishes everything, including everything that pertains to our salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. That's self-exaltation. 2, self-promotion. Pride welcomes credit from others. Instead of exalting himself, some let others exalt him. But accepting credit from others is another form of pride. Put forth our virtue and success so that others compliment us. We are being prideful. Yeshua chided those who paraded their righteous behavior to promote attention. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Matthew 6, 1 and 2. So never promote yourself. Self-promotion is the second form of pride. Self-exaltation is first, then self-promotion. 3, self-justification. Pride expects credit from God himself. We should resist seeking applause from other people. Likewise, we should avoid seeking God's admiration. Expecting credit from God is another form of pride. You may be troubled by this statement, so let's review the logic. There is nothing honorable or virtuous within ourselves. We are utterly sinful, and God's wrath abides on us. So this goes into some Christian madness I'll discuss and bring into. But the scripture is Matthew 5 and 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And Yeshua illustrates this truth when describing a Pharisee who expected commendation from men and God himself. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted, right? Luke 18, 10 through 4. So never justify yourself, right? That's 3. 4, self-degradation. Pride tears himself down. Let's see. The next 3 forms of pride are subtle, since they are disclosed in failure. Many don't expect to find pride in their hearts when they are failing. In fact, people often view failure as an opportunity for humility. A common phrase, when you lose, is eating humble pie. When you tear yourself down, you are being prideful. You are prideful because you are self-absorbed. You are focused on yourself. You are preoccupied with yourself. So therefore, you are not focused on the Father. So you're focused on your error. Oh, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. That's self-degradation. Pride is ultimately self-preoccupation. A prideful person thinks about himself. He is ambivalent to others, and he forgets Yeshua. So instead of rejoicing in the success of others and trusting in God's sovereignty, a prideful person concerns only himself outside of the will of the Father. The great secret to humility is not to focus on yourself at all, but to fill your mind and heart with the glory of God, revealed in the sin-conquering death and resurrection of Yeshua. Okay? So never degrade yourself. Self-demotion. Pride compares himself to others. A prideful person can degrade himself privately, or he may demote himself publicly. This is the 5th form of pride. Self-demotion is announcing that you have performed worse than others.
You convince others that you are less or you have less. You argue in public that compared to others, you are inferior. You create a pity party, end quote, for yourself. Okay? The reason self-pity does not look like pride is that it appears to be needy, but the need arises from a wounded ego, and the desire of the self-pitying is not really for others to see them as helpless, but as heroes. The need for self-pity feels the need self-pity feels does not come from a sense of unworthiness, but from a sense of unrecognized worthiness. It is the response of unapplauded pride. Self-demotion is another form of self-promotion. When you castigate yourself in front of other people, you are fishing for affirmation. You want others to reaffirm, no, you are not a loser, you are a winner. Placing yourself as inferior to others is another form of pride. You might even change your comparison to make yourself feel superior by looking for someone else with whom to compare yourself. You can puff yourself up. The line of reasoning goes like this: even though I'm worse than you, I am still better than you. Pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the next man. It is the comparison that makes you proud, the pleasure of being above the rest. Once the element of competition is gone, pride is gone. So never demote yourself. Self-demotion is the fifth form of pride. Condemnation, pride judges himself. The sixth form of pride is private, manifesting itself in times of personal failure. It does not seek the affirmation, approval, or admiration of others. Instead, this form of pride occurs when a person condemns himself because he does not meet his own standard. Sometimes we mislabel self-condemnation as depression. We think a person who hopelessly condemns himself is depressed, so we attempt to cheer him up. When we are unsuccessful in changing his mindset, we conclude his depression runs deep. But the man who condemns himself is not primarily dealing with the depression. His root problem is pride. The self-condemned person places his perspective, standard, and assessment above everyone else. He resists God's grace because he denies God is the true source of salvation, blessing, and truth. He refuses to help others. Compared to his companions and God, he thinks he knows better, outside of the will of the Father. The self-condemned person makes himself judge. He seizes the rightful authority away, from God and gives it to himself. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Ruach, whom he poured out on us richly through Yeshua, our Savior. Titus 3:3-6. So these are, you know, when I say self-reflect, self-convict, self-correct, that's me saying check your pride, full self. And listen, again, I'm a proud, prideful person. I'm working on my own pride. Because this is what took us down in the first place. This is what Israel, this is why we went in and out of captivity, because of our pride. We the people. Y'all ain't the people. You all are dogs. We the people. You ain't the people. We the people. And then took us down in our pride, took our knowledge away, took our wisdom away, which is our holy Ruach. And he allowed the heathens to get hold of some of it. And what did they do? You ain't the people. We the people. You all are dogs. Y'all are beasts. Matter of fact, y'all ain't even human. It's us. We the people. And so now we're going to turn around and do the same thing again. Y'all ain't the people. We the people. Somewhere it's got to stop. We got to go back and review
what the will of the Father is to you. That's where it begins. That's where all this began. It was the will of the Father that woke you up. It's the will of the Father that's keeping you here and keeping you up. Now he wants you to grow in to his spirit that he has allowed back to us, his holy Ruach. I mean, that only makes sense. You know, I'm not going down the road to only be part of the Gentile crew. Hells to the no, no, no. We're going to have to do what we got to do. Shoot, because I am. It's truly about to go down. You know, we talk about next year. I mean, okay, so let's say, because we don't know nothing, right? We don't know what next year symbolizes. We don't know what the cause and effect of next year will be, but that we know a time period, right? So would it not make sense today, 7/12 of 23, to begin to sort ourselves out? Would that not make sense? So when X marks the spot, and if it is all green lit for the Messiah to come and sort some things out, not to say that it is, not to say that it isn't, but if it is, then wouldn't it be best that we are in the will of the Father, not worrying about these heathens? Because these heathens are going to do what they do. They can't do no more. It's just what they do. It's just what they do. The Vatican, D.C., and London will be judged accordingly. Matter of fact, in the spirit right now, in the spiritual realm, they're being judged accordingly. In the courtroom of the Father, they're being judged. I mean, we're not the prosecuting attorney. That's Yeshua. We're just in the gallery. We're the witnesses. We ain't even the jury. I know. Well, Israel will judge. We'll be judging. The righteous of Israel will judge the fallen. Not all Israel. Because ain't all Israel Israel. So we got to get ourselves straight. And this word that you just heard is just a heard a word from the Father. That's all it is. It's just what I heard. That's all I know. That's just what I heard. And that's all I can give you based on what I heard. Because this thing has come full circle. 360 degrees, we have come full circle. We're all at this crossroad. And I know everybody can feel it and see it who's in this walk. We're seeking after truth, but we're missing who the truth is. We're missing the master. That humbles you immediately. Because we forgot. So because we forgot, we didn't have any deference of the Father. We didn't have any deference of the Son. And we are seeking deference of the Spirit, but they're all one. Our Elohim. The totality of it, the will of our Father. We try, but now it's time to do or die. Those are our consequences, our reward. And our reward is great, if we do what we're supposed to do. If we run around and clown and then have a frown and just talk about those that are brown, I mean, that's not the will of the Father. Not that doing so is, you know, wrong. You know, we have to talk to the Father. That's it. We have to find what the Father's will for us is. And Yeshua's told us, look to me. We got to look at Jesus or Cesar Borgia. Now we get to look at the real master. Now we get to gain insight from the real master. What does all that mean? That means that now I feel that, now I believe, now I know that it is time to go back and revisit the master's words, his parables, his overstanding. Now it's time to do that, to focus back on him. Him brings us salvation via the will of the Father. Don't be puffed up. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't be led astray. Don't be caught out with half of oil, but you can't buy no more. Think that you own the vineyard. You know, we're in this season now, this next season. Make sure that the season that you're in is proper within the will of the Father. Otherwise, it will be difficult on you. It will be difficult on you. Yeah, you may endure through it, but it will be difficult on you. It's time for us to be who we were created to be and stop thinking just it's about me, because it's not. Deference, Israel, deference. All praises to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our Elohim. Give praises and thanks to Yeshua, our brethren, our master. And be kind and blessed in the wisdom and comforted in the wisdom of our holy Ruach, so that we may live to fight another day. By the will, in the will, and for the will of the Father. All praises. Shalom.